Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
It's the day I know you've been waiting for. It's the moment of truth. It's Game Show Thursday, or Game Show Wednesday on a Thursday. It's going to be fun. Welcome inside the playbook for Thursday here on the bye week of the playoffs for the New England Patriots. The wild card weekend is straight ahead. In our program, in the opening hour, we'll get into some of the fun in the games. So I'm going to start right off by saying if you want a chance to win, we got T-shirts to give away today. Ooh. You want a chance to win, you need to call in right now. What
kind of T-shirts?
I believe some PFW T-shirts.
Ooh.
So rare, hard to find, cannot purchase.
No, you can't.
T-shirts.
Can't purchase them.
These are not available for purchase.
Only via giveaway.
That's correct. Only special people.
And subscription.
Yeah, only special, like I said, only special people get these shirts, right? So if you want a chance to play and win a prize today and have a little fun, Ace Ticket Hotline, do it now, 508-298-0398. Again, that's 508-298-0398. We'll play a little match game today, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
We're waiting for one of our panelists to show. He said he'd be here. I don't know what time he's going to be here.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Okay. Kev, we may have to work on that.
Especially since he called me Paul Scalavino the other day.
He called you Paul Scalavino?
Yeah.
Was that a play on words?
No. Paul Scalavino after he took over.
Nice. Paul Scalavino.
He got your name right, though, John.
He did?
He did. It was John Rook in that Paul Scalavino character.
Paul Scalavino character. Okay.
That would be a character because that person does not exist.
I love it. All right. Before we get to the fun and games, let's... Also tell you that in hour number two, Russell Baxter, our pro football guru, will be here as well. We'll run through the wild card weekend, and we'll actually get some meat and potatoes to the dessert that's on the on the agenda for today. But before we get to game show, how about a little practice update for us today?
All right. Let me back it up just a little bit.
Go.
At Bill Belichick's press conference this morning, he was asked whether or not Bill O'Brien would be there at practice because rumors have been swirling that he would be interviewing with Penn State today, and Bill said, no, he won't be here.
Mm.
So,
interesting.
Seems like the reports are kind of true that Bill O'Brien is at least giving himself options, seeing what's out there.
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to be quite honest with you. I mean, everybody needs a chance to better themselves, and in spite of, you know, the controversy that's been swirling around Penn State, I mean, how can you say no to an opportunity like that with a chance to, you know, rebuild literally one of the marquee brands and programs in the country?
And it's not like they have a game that they're preparing for this weekend.
Right, they're done.
So it's not really a distraction.
No, it's not. I mean, number one, Penn State's done. Number two, the Patriots are off.
It's the ideal time to do it. If you're going to do it, this is the ideal week to do it.
I just don't think that if he is the guy and he accepts, they won't announce it until the Patriots are through.
Not necessarily.
You don't think?
No, because there's precedent. Charlie Weiss.
Well, that's true. I didn't even think of that.
When he left for Notre Dame, the news was announced before the end of the season.
I didn't even think of that. Okay.
So, I mean, maybe that's how that Penn State would handle it, but I'm just saying it wouldn't be unprecedented if they didn't.
Right.
You know, if they made the announcement, he's our guy, he accepts, pending the outcome of the season.
Interesting.
But there's also reports that Jacksonville's interested in talking to him about their head coaching job, potentially this weekend. So
really?
Well, because there's, you know, like I said, there's the opportunity to do that.
Okay.
And if permission is granted during this bye week, maybe that.
What do you make of the interest in Bill O'Brien?
Well, I brought this up on PFW earlier. I find it interesting how relatively unknown name guys, obscure coaches like Bill O'Brien, who's known to, you know, the hardcore Patriots fan, not necessarily to the NFL fan in general, how these guys from afar become favorite candidates for positions at either schools or other clubs around the league? Maybe around the league it's a little bit easier to understand that, but from a college perspective where there's not the direct connection on a daily or weekly basis with these guys, it's interesting how suddenly these names just sort of, it almost seems like they take on a life of their own. And by no doing of their own, they suddenly become these hot commodities.
Sure. Okay.
And I know a lot of them have agents, and a lot of it probably has to do with the agent drumming up, you know, it's just kind of like an author has a book agent or, you know, literary agent, or players have agents, same kind of thing. They're always trying to drum up interest in their client. So it just seemed like a little curious to me that, you know, a guy who's relatively unknown suddenly becomes a name, and then there becomes like a snowball effect. The more you hear the name, the more he becomes a name that people want to talk to, you know. Not saying that Bill's undeserving of that. In fact, I think he's got, you know, quite a bit of credentials for a coaching college coaching gig, seeing how before he came to the NFL, he spent most of all of his time actually in the college ranks.
You are aware, of course, of the similarity and the synergy between Joe Paterno and Bill O'Brien.
Of course. They both, Rhode Island connection.
Well, they both played and coached at Brown University.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
So I think that's kind of an interesting
coincidence. One bear would be replacing another if that happened.
Interesting coincidence.
Yeah,
in
very
this
interesting
whole thing, right?
Yes, indeed. I've actually tweeted that out last week.
Yep.
As far as practice, pretty much the same report as yesterday. Brady, Welker, Mankins, Vollmer, Cannon, and you can add Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis to that absentee list.
Do we make anything out of this?
Not yet, because it's the bye week.
And no
you know,
injury
all
report
those guys,
is required. Right,
no injury report is required, and therefore we won't get one. But if next week those same names are still out there, then you start to become a little concerned.
Okay.
Particularly with Mankins, because it'd be interesting. I've written off Vollmer. Vollmer for this year. If he comes back, great, but I don't expect anything from him. It's just unfortunate that he's
why
been hurt.
Why haven't they IR'd him?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think they were holding out some hope that maybe he'd be available, and if he does practice next week, that's a good sign that he'll, you know, be able to contribute. But if he doesn't, then I really wonder what the hell he's waiting for.
Is this related at all, or any way that you know of, to the problems that plagued him when he was in Houston?
The back problems?
Yeah.
Well, he's listed as back and right foot.
Okay.
Or back and foot. We know it's a right foot because we were there and saw it against Philly. But I'm not sure which is worse at this point. Although the back was originally the problem, so I tend to think it's probably the back more so. But it didn't look good when he went out of the Eagles game either, and that's when he injured his foot. So, but if he, like I said, if he can practice next week, I'll be encouraged. If not, then just forget about it.
Okay.
And Mankins, I'll be very curious to see.
Yeah, sure.
As well, thank Brady, you. I know, is just getting rest. Don't sweat that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Benny has been on and off all year.
Right.
That's a little bit of a concern, but something tells me he'll be back next week too.
Okay. All right, so there's the update, at least as far as the practice report's concerned. Tim is in North Carolina, wants to talk a little football. Tim, you're in the playbook.
Hello.
Hello, Tim.
Yeah, hi.
Go ahead, bud.
Actually, we talked last week. Once again, I'm going into coaching staff.
Okay.
By the way, I think Bill Belichick is going to go down in history as the greatest coach. And I'm going to put in Paul Brown, Lombardi, and Landry. I think he is an unbelievable coach. But I think it is asking too much of any one man to be GM, head coach, and defensive coordinator.
All right.
And I would love to see somebody on the caliber of and you corrected me last week, Teddy Bruschi, go in as a defensive coordinator. And I understand he is, you know, a family man. He's got a young family. And it is hard to spend 18 hours a day for 10 months out of the year. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I think that would be such an addition.
Well, let Eric tell you who he purports for that particular position should something like that become available.
For defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Well, I was advocating for Steve Spagnuolo the other day.
Who?
Steve Spagnuolo.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Steve Spagnuolo, the former Rams head coach and the former Giants defensive coordinator,
sure.
who you know laid a whooping on these record-setting 07 Patriots in the Super Bowl. And he's also a Massachusetts native, which might be a little bit of an enticing aspect to the job for him if he were so offered it. Now, that's the big question. Would Bill want to relinquish what he, you know, everybody knows is quote-unquote his defense to somebody else and to, you know, let them completely overhaul what he's done over the years? My argument to that is what you've been doing over the past few years hasn't worked. So you need to do something different.
And I just think that is too much to ask for one man.
Well, I was also called crazy this summer when I said that the Patriots would switch to a 4-3 this year based on their personnel. And then what happened?
That made a lot of sense to me.
It might have made a lot of sense to you, but most people told me I was nuts.
I, at one point in my life, tried out for the New England Patriots back in 1972, and I was a complete failure. But I did love playing defense, and I am a student of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you need somebody there that is going to be that coordinator, I think.
Yeah, you're not alone in that thinking either. It's just a matter of who that person's going to be. Is Bill going to take another underling and promote him, as he has done throughout his career, or is he finally going to make a drastic move? Because, as I said yesterday, some people think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you keep throwing out the same scheme with the same players and expect them to go from the 32nd-ranked defense to a top-10 defense, you're crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, you're not going to get the fellow dressed with a C there that's now head coach of Kansas City back.
Romeo Crennel.
Yeah. And he was a great
coach. Sure was. Yeah, he was.
But, you know, every time we train somebody, and honestly, I can see why Billy O'Brien would take these offers very seriously. I do hope he does go to Penn State. I mean, I learned on Pennsylvania football.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a guy that fits right in. I really think he would be great there. And you can't say, hey, the guy shouldn't do this because he is part of the Patriots organization.
Right. He's got an opportunity to better himself, and everybody has, you know, should have the opportunity to do that. And I don't think the Patriots are going to hold him back. I don't think there's any question about that.
If
there's a fit there, then I think that O'Brien will see it, and certainly Penn State has already apparently seen that, and you know, we'll wish him well, and then that leaves a big opportunity for someone else to come in next year.
Yeah, and I wonder who that is. I do like his theme and his the fact that and he would make a great college coach.
He's got some experience. He's got some experience. There's no question about that. Let me ask Eric any thoughts as to who might potentially replace Bill if he does go.
Well, sure. there are several scenarios I could envision. I mean, obviously the promotion from within category,
mm-hmm.
where
yeah.
You know, we've seen. There hasn't been a named coordinator in the past. Josh McDaniels was the quarterback's coach, who was the de facto offensive coordinator before getting the title. Same thing with O'Brien. You could look to somebody like George Godsey, who's on the staff right now, being named the quarterback's coach officially and doing the play calling without having the offensive coordinator title. He was, you know, the quarterback under Bill O'Brien back at Georgia Tech when Bill was down there running the offense.
Right.
That's an option. Some people have thrown out other names like Ferentz and O'Shea. I think Ferentz is not ready for that kind of responsibility, and O'Shea might be a little bit beyond his skill set to do that.
I would agree.
So Godsey might be the best internal choice for promotion. The other one I could see, just because of their history together, is, and he's available, is Pat Hill, who was head coach at Fresno State, was an assistant for Bill in Cleveland. I could just see him coming in and becoming just sort of like the experienced older coach with some gravitas that a lot of these younger coaches have lacked.
And I think that older coach is needed.
I tend to agree, I think. I tend to agree.
I mean, we don't need guys that are...
Actually, I think more so on defense. More so on defense that's needed.
Than a college coach.
Mm-hmm.
They are coaching professionals. They're saying, look, you guys, this really is your decision. I mean, you're professionals. In college, they're saying, you're going to do this. And look at all the coaches. I mean, Mangini. He was a good
coordinator.
Offensive coordinator.
Yep, defensive. Yep, defensive coordinator.
I'm sorry, defense.
Right.
You're right. You know, guys like that really are important, I think, in a professional level.
Correct, and I think it would be a great step to take if you could find someone with some seasoning behind them to help cultivate some of the younger guys. If you don't have a younger guy that's ready to step in, as Eric kind of suggested. Tim, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. I'm guessing maybe that the temperature just isn't right to play game shows today because nobody seems to want to play with us today.
The temperature's chilly.
Everybody's in playoff mode.
Yeah,
I mean,
guess.
We got 10 days to go before the stinking game.
I know.
You know.
Maybe they're taking the week off too.
I suppose that's possibly the case. So we'll continue with the conversation till somebody decides they want to play.
Right.
I guess that's pretty much all we can kind of do here. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us at webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page is up and running. John Rook, Rooke, the last name. And you can submit the friend request, and then you can chat and post and message and all that stuff on the Facebook page. The Twitter page, @JRooke0722. J-R-O-O-K-E 0722 is how you reach me via Twitter. A couple of things, though, that I did want to bring up. And I saw this on ESPN Boston through the ESPN stats guys. And we've talked a lot over the course of the last, you know, especially the last couple of weeks, but over the slow starts by the Patriots. And some great numbers put out there by Jeremy Lundblad just to sort of underscore the slow starts and how the Patriots have overcome the slow starts, which everybody seems to think, oh, they can't do in the playoffs because if they do it in the playoffs, they're going to get murdered. All right? Well, think about this for just a second, though. Against the Bills, Patriots trailed 21-0 at the end of the first quarter but came back to win. That's happened only 7 times in the history of the NFL.
And the 6th time was in Buffalo earlier this year.
I think so. But 21 points down in the first quarter and came back to win. All right, so just think about that. In the 8 home games that the Patriots have played, they led just 1 time at the end of the first quarter. Now, that one I was not aware of.
Hmm.
Going back and looking at it, they led just 1 time at the end of the first quarter. Overall, they've trailed in the first quarter in half of their 16 games. They've trailed in half of the 16 games at the end of one.
Mm-hmm.
And in 6 of those games, they trailed. They also trailed. In 6 of those, New England trailed at the end of the first quarter. So I'm just saying, this team has made a habit. It hasn't just been the last couple of weeks. It's been all year.
Oh, yeah.
All year, yep. Which they've started slowly, haven't figured out a way to sort of kick it into gear.
It's yet, a broken record in the locker room when we talk
yet,
with them.
Yet they have managed to persevere. They've proved adept at coming back from these deficits. In the 6 games which they trailed going into the second quarter, the Patriots went 5-1. And I'm just going to put that in a little bit more perspective. This is the number I love the most that was brought up by Stats Inc., and I'm going to run these through Russell again a little bit later on. But the rest of the NFL,
yeah,
trailing going into the second quarter, mm-hmm, was 58-146. The Patriots were 5-1. Now, to me, I don't know what that indicates to you. to me, that indicates extreme strong-willedness. It tells me that these guys don't rattle easily at all. Tells me that these guys, I'm sure they'd like to start out better, they're not bothered by it at all. And that's the kind, I think, of dedication and the kind of perseverance and the kind of mental strength that a team needs to have, I think, to compete for a championship.
Good points. I would only add to that, does the stat compiling take into consideration the record of the opponent against whom they came back? Because looking at New England's schedule, they did a lot of that against lesser opponents. And if they have to do that against a better opponent, I think they'll have a much harder time going 5-1 or having a winning record that way.
Okay.
That's my counter argument to that.
Okay. Well, my results are completely black and white here, Eric, so I'm not really sure about that. But if you say so, all right, that sounds fine. Is it Todar in Connecticut?
I just wanted to, yes, it's Todar. Hi, guys, how are you doing?
Great.
Good.
One thing is Patriots have, we have won only one game versus a playoff opponent.
Denver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to be able to pull out upsets if we're trailing behind versus playoff caliber teams is beyond me.
That's my point, too. I worry about that. That's why I think they need to take the ball right away and score. Get a lead. Let their defense take the field with a lead for once.
But even that's not a given.
No, it's not a given. But that's what the offense needs and what the defense needs. The offense needs to go out there, get a first quarter score on an opening drive. The defense needs to go on the field with a lead already the first time they step on the field.
And we're sure that that's going to be a panacea to all the ills?
No, but I'd like to see how that would help them. I'd rather see that than see them get into a hole and try to dig out of it again.
I mean, let's say Baltimore has won six games
against playoff opponents.
Versus playoff.
Well, I honestly, and I don't mean to dicker here, but quite frankly, I mean, you can only play the schedule that you're dealt by the NFL. This is mm-hmm. the schedule the Patriots had. Mm-hmm. The Ravens had the schedule that they had.
Yep.
You can only win the games they tell you you got to go play. I mean, next year's schedule, have you already seen it? You know, some of the, we know the opponents for next
yep.
year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an overwhelming schedule for the Patriots. In fact, it's very underwhelming. And we're going to be talking about the same thing next year, but the Patriots will have a chance to win probably 13 or 14 games again next year. And next year, are we going to be saying the same crap we're saying this year? Oh, who the hell they play? It doesn't matter who they played. Win the games in front of you. As long as you do that, that's all you can ask. Because you can't do anything about strength of schedule or they've beaten somebody that, doesn't belong in the playoffs or isn't in the playoffs. Who cares? That is a non-starter as far as I'm concerned. You can't do anything about it.
No, but I think you can project based on the way they've played against
the two playoff
lesser
teams
competition.
We lost to the Steelers and the Giants.
I'm not worried about it, Todar. Not worried about it at all. I don't know why you would be. I really don't. I really don't know why you would be.
With our defense, you should be worried.
I'm with him
well,
there.
Listen, all right. I've got two nattering nabobs of negativity here today. Come on. You're talking about one of the all-time best offenses that we've seen in recent memory. You got a quarterback that's thrown.
That's in this town sucks.
Thank you, Rick Pitino. You've got a quarterback that, you know, is playing through obviously injury. And I think we all realize that.
Mm-hmm.
He's thrown for, you know, more yards than only one other quarterback has ever beaten him in NFL history. It happened to go this year. You've got two unbelievable wide receivers. I would tell you right now that I do believe the way that the NFL is currently constructed and the way the rules of the game are. And I've been saying this now for how many weeks? All year, I think. This team can outscore anybody if they're on their game. Anybody. Green Bay, Nolans, anybody.
If he has a good game, yeah.
Anybody. So, you know what? If the Patriot defense comes up and actually plays somewhat representative, and frankly, I would put last week's game in that category. Buffalo doesn't suck, all right? They're improved. They're not a bad team. They're not a playoff team, but they did beat New England last
time
around.
Their best player was out of the game, though.
What's that?
Their best player was out of the game.
Stevie Johnson, he's talking about.
Well, Stevie Johnson took himself out of the game, you know, with his, yeah, you know, that
I mean,
was
he
a
was
little...
torching him before that. Mm.
So you're telling me if Stevie Johnson doesn't raise his shirt up to say Happy New Year to everybody last week, that Buffalo wins that game? Come on, you're not really that foolish, are you?
No.
Okay.
It would have been closer. It would not have been that bad, though. No.
You can't make that leap.
I mean,
you can't make that leap.
And that's why I'm holding on buying merchandise, because every time I buy merchandise on the website, they lose.
All right, well then don't buy anything. We don't want your business. Your money's no good here. Puh. Thanks, Todar. Appreciate it, buddy. How about Jamal in New York? Jamal, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
I want to touch on a topic you were saying, how about if you get the receive the ball first and then try to score, it'll like boost the defense.
Yeah.
What if you get the ball first and then don't score, the other team scores, and then at halftime you're down, and then they get the ball back? Then it's really over.
No, that doesn't. Just because you get the ball back in the second half doesn't mean you're going to score.
Oh, no, I'm saying, no. Something, though, like, say if it was like, okay, we're down at halftime. Like, sometimes they're down at halftime.
Yeah.
But the other team gets the ball back, and we're not stopping them, and they score again. Then they're down by, like, a two-touchdown lead or a three-touchdown lead in the second half.
Yeah.
And also, I want to say, what do you think will be, like, the Chargers, or they were reported that they were, like, Vincent Jackson would not be coming back to the team. What do you think will be the chances to be the Patriots will try to go after him next season?
Oh, boy. I thought this past year would have been the year to do that.
Yeah, because they're not franchising him.
But, you know, I'd love to have him, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not too confident. I'm not too confident about it. They do need to do something at wide receiver. They can't stay with the group they have, and I certainly would love that. But they have to take care of Wes Welker first, I would think. It's going to be interesting to see what they do there. They definitely need to draft somebody high. They can't afford to do the trading down thing and get some scrub in the second or third round.
Yeah, but I think really they're going to draft a center. They're going to try to go draft another offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah, that's fine if they can do that in the fourth or if they can do that.
How about the O-line help the running game?
If they can do that in the fourth or fifth round, that's fine. I don't want them drafting a center in the first round.
I think they'll be first round this year.
Like who?
I don't know. They'll find somebody and draft them in the first round, trade down to the last pick.
They have enough centers on the team. They went through four of them already this year, capably. I don't think center's a problem for them. They need talent at wide receiver, linebacker, at cornerback, defensive end.
I think the whole draft should just be on defense, though, and you know, see what you try to sign Welker and see what you get, whatever receiver you can get free agency. Because the offense is really just good enough, like Brady said, just executing the plays.
Okay.
But yeah, that's all I have today.
All right, thanks, Jamal. Appreciate it. You know, these are all issues that are going to take care of themselves in good order. But,
yeah, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about them.
Sure. I mean, wow, we're already focused on next year, and we're going to get up in the draft and free agent wide receivers.
Let's try to win a Super Bowl first.
Yeah, we need to win a Super Bowl first. I understand, but you know how that goes, and there's always a market for that. But I'm just kind of like, wow, can we get through this year first?
Yeah, people are always too worried about the future at the expense of the present.
You know, in a sense, that's really what Bill Belichick has done, and yet we rag on him for that. We rag on him for not, you know, caring enough about the present to win a championship when it seems like he's always got one eye to the future.
And when it comes to drafting,
when it comes to drafting and sustaining this level of excellence that really has, you know, been prevalent here for the last decade.
Which is counter to what he does week to week, which is not think about the next game after that. He's always worried about the next game coming up on the schedule.
I don't want to hear any more fans banging on Bill Belichick and his draft philosophy. I don't want to hear it. I'm immediately going to punt you off the show. Because if you're going to come in and say something like that and you're worried about wide receivers and yet you're not worried about winning right now first and foremost, what good does that do?
Mm-hmm.
That's totally, completely contradictory to everything we're talking about here. We're banging on him for this and yet we're allowing you to come in and entertain that. He's doing the very same thing. You can't talk about it then. You're gone.
Okay, you're looking at me when you say that. I got a little scared there.
No, Eric, you can stay. You could stay. All right, 508-298-0398. I saw our other panelist just walk in the door. So I know he's here, right? He's in the building. Okay, so what we need to do, we're going to take a break. What I'd really like for you to do, and let's have some fun here. We got about half an hour or so until Russell Baxter joins us. We're going to play a little match game for you. So if you want to play, some great questions. We'll have a few laughs. It's a chance to be a little creative here, a chance to make a name for yourself on Patriots.com radio today. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Line it up now, 508-298-0398. Game show Thursday. Prizes to give away. The match game is coming up here in the playbook.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, and that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Mmm, these Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Inside the playbook for a Thursday, the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. You heard, I need one more player. Can we get one more contestant, please? One more. That's all I'm asking. I don't ask much of you. I sit here every day. I toil over a hot stove. I cook for you. I clean for you.
And you're offering dessert today.
And I'm offering dessert today. Exactly. Thank you, Paul Scalavino. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You bastard. Come to your defense, and that's how you treat me.
Come on. If we can't have fun, then what can we have around here?
I want to. You, bitch.
I wanted to have a little fun today because we're going to have to get down to the, you know, hard, serious business of football again next week. And I do all this great stuff and then flat, boom.
I tell you what, I got to give him a little credit, though, because we have got calls. They just want to talk about the cold, hard football facts with John Rook.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. That's fine.
They want Rook's hot takes.
Want my hot takes.
Slaving over a hot microphone, right?
Let's slaving over a hot microphone. Damn. All right. So anyway, hang on, Gene. We're going to try to find you a contestant. We're going to find somebody that you can compete against. We're going to find somebody that, you know, you can actually, you know, play against. And then we'll see if we can't do a little game show action for you. We'll have a little bit of fun. And then we get back to the serious business of football in the next hour. We're going to break apart. We're going to dissect. We're going to analyze all of the wild card games with our, you know, PFG, pro football guru, Russell Baxter. That's all going to happen. What worries you the most about this week? I know you have several concerns, Eeyore, Squidward.
What worries me
what do
the
we
most
have? What's going on?
About this week?
About this week in getting ready for next week. Is it the uncertainty of the opponent? Is it the defense's ability to start as poorly as they have? The offense's ability to start as slowly as they have? The fact that they've lost two, you know, playoff games in a row? I mean, what worries you the most going into this week?
Their inability to correct what has caused them to have such slow starts. That's what worries me the most, that there's not enough time. Because, like I said, I think earlier, either yesterday or even before then, we're in week 17. I know they won the game. I know they ended up 13-3, but we're still, the post-game locker room conversation kept revolving around, yeah, but, mm-hmm. You guys started slow again. Mm-hmm. You had to have a comment. And even the players were starting to acknowledge, yeah, we can't afford to do this in the playoffs because we're playing better teams now and we're not going to be able to dig ourselves out of a hole like that. The players themselves were acknowledging that, John. And that worries me because at this point you should know, well, we know what kind of team they are, but you shouldn't have to have such drastic things that need fixing at this time of the year. It should be minor things that you're trying to either polish up or just slightly improve on. You shouldn't have to have such a major concern heading
okay,
into the
Okay, but in an imperfect NFL, which I think we all agree this was, and you have to admit, though, that the Patriots have fewer problems than most. I mean, don't you like where the Patriots stand as compared to the other, you know, 11 teams in the playoff tournament?
Offensively, yes. Defensively, I have my concerns. Now, I know Green Bay is almost a
dead heat.
An identical twin.
The dead heat.
Great offense. Suspect defense. The Saints are the same way.
Dead heat, almost.
Right. The problem is the teams that they would have to face before then, the Baltimores, the Pittsburghs potentially, those are different animals. Those are tough defenses.
So you're telling me, well, tough is a relative term, Eric. I mean, I think they're adequate defenses. I don't think they're tough defenses in the sense that you know, we're not going to look at the 85 Bears out there. We're not going to look at the 2000 Ravens out there. We're not going to look at any of those kind
of... Not to that level.
Not at all.
Given the type of trouble they've had against lesser defenses this year alone, the fact that they would be playing a much stouter defense compared to the rest of the league this year is problematic if they don't play to their ability on offense.
Well, I think how many games have we seen them not play to their capability? Three or four?
They certainly haven't played to their full potential in any game this year.
Well, doesn't that stand to reason then that, you know, hey, if you're going to save your best for last, now's the time to do it?
That's wishful thinking, yeah. Well, I certainly hope
they do.
But,
I mean, it just seems like, there should be that kind of wishful thinking if we've got the other kind of anticipatory thinking about impending doom like it seems you and some of the others have.
No, I still think they have a legitimate chance to get to the Super Bowl, and once they're there, maybe even win it, given all the flaws that they have.
The Patriots, as flawed as they are,
have a
very good chance to win it all.
Sure. I'm not, sky-high confident that that's going to happen, but...
Well, no, but I don't think you can be sky-high confident about any one of the teams in the tournament.
Well, but, go back to 03, 04. I had no doubt, and those games ended up being, those championships ended up being much closer than I expected, but I had no doubt that those teams were going to win. No doubt. I had no doubt in 07 they were going to win. That's how confident I felt. I don't have nearly that feeling this year. I think they can do it, but I'm not going in saying I'm fine. Okay. I feel really good.
Okay.
I don't. The only thing is, yes, they're due to have a good game. They're due to put a good game together, finally. I just hope they don't waste it too soon and then, have a letdown thereafter.
Okay. All right, I think I follow you, but I just for some reason or another, I don't share the same pessimism. I get where you're coming from.
It's more cautiousness than pessimism.
I'm not trying to blow sunshine up anybody's skirt here either. All I'm saying is that, given, the current environment in which, all teams operate right now, the Patriots have as good a chance as any. I just don't think that, in fact, I read a great story by Rick Gosselin of the Dallas Morning News, and if you haven't seen it, it was an open letter that he wrote to Commissioner Roger Goodell. And it was like, "Dear Commissioner Goodell, please give us our game back." And he proceeded to go on and in short paraphrased form here, go on and explain how the current NFL stinks, that we need to go back to the way it was in the NFL, that defenses win and build championships, that defensive football is what we're all used to in the long run, that you've ruined the game of pro football because of all the offensive changes that give the quarterbacks the opportunity to do what they've done this year. For instance, 91 years of pro football history, only two quarterbacks in 91 years ever threw for over 5,000 yards. This year alone, we had three. All right, I'm thinking, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. All things in life must evolve. All good products in life must evolve. Even if it's perfect, even if it's great the way it is, and you don't want to change a thing, change is inevitable. Change must happen. The game has evolved because we have evolved. As consumers of the sport, what the NFL has done is they have acquiesced to our wishes. Forget that. They have acquiesced to our demands. We wanted more entertainment for the dollar that we're spending. The NFL has delivered. You can't say that about any other professional sport in this country. Not like the NFL has. You can't. The NFL has done exactly what its fans have asked them to do. So anytime somebody comes on here or anytime anybody says, you know what, I don't like this. What are you talking about? It's exactly what you asked for.
More points.
Yes.
More scoring.
More points, more scoring, more entertainment. It's our Xbox society around here. It's our ADD society in which we're all growing up in. We need instant gratification, instant qualification, instant everything is what we need. I mean, look, you're looking at your stinking iPhone right now, for God's sake, because you need it now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the NFL gives you. It gives you fun. It gives you points. It gives you excitement. It gives you interest. It gives you everything right now. So to say that you're going to go back to defense, and all due respect to Rick Gosselin, who I respect greatly as a writer, mule muffins. That's not what we're looking for here.
Is that a Texas term?
Don't you remember Harry Potter? Not Harry Potter. Colonel Henry Potter.
Henry Potter.
From MASH used to say that all the time. Mule muffins. Yeah. Nice way of saying bull bleep.
Was he a Texan in that show?
I don't think he was.
Southerner? No?
Southerner, yes. I think he's from Missouri. He just passed away recently, too.
I mean, the character. Was the character.
You're right, John.
Yeah. I don't know. The character, I think, was from Missouri. I don't know where Henry, the guy who played Henry Potter, what the hell's his name now? I can't even think of it. Harry Morgan.
Harry Morgan.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
I don't even remember where he was originally from, but he was an excellent, he was typecast very well. He was one of the huge reasons that that series continued to go on as long as it did, you know, with Alan Alda and, mm-hmm. you know, all the other, you know, people that were involved there. So, okay.
Halep Suhan?
She's great. December 7th. Of
really?
This past year.
Of
yeah.
this past, so just a month ago.
Oh, on Pearl Harbor Day, and he was a member of that generation.
He sure was. Wow. How about that? I didn't even realize that. I knew it was recently.
Eerie coincidence there.
Yeah, huh? No kidding, huh? All right, do you like how we've digressed?
Oh, we have to.
I still
need a little bit later doing that today.
I still need a partner for Gene. Is there not one stinking person out there that wants to win a T-shirt? Not one? 508-298-0398. That's all you got to do. Pick up the phone, play a little game with
fact,
us.
As a fun fact?
Yes.
He lived until he was 96. So that's an excellent life.
Harry Morgan was 96?
Excellent. He was old on MASH. Remember?
Well, he was, yeah, an older, yeah. He actually could have been in the Korean War.
It was in the 50s. So, maybe as like as a senior officer.
Hmm? He probably could have been. I mean, that was 60 years ago. Of course, he played a much older character during the time of the Korean War when he was in the series. Well, God bless him. He had a great life.
His first appearance in MASH was in 74.
1974. And the series ended in when? Late 80s,
when was
right?
Early 80s.
I thought
because all the Super Bowls were compared to their...
was it?
Yeah, they had the highest Nielsen rating ever, remember?
I thought it was late 80s.
I think it was, I want to say 82 for MASH. 82, 83, something like that.
I'm going to say it was later.
Can you look that up, Kevin?
Seems like I was already here.
MASH finale?
In New England. Already here in New England when that happened. Kev, somebody wants to play game show.
You know what? I'll look up MASH finale.
Like, you know, all right, let Rook have his stupid fun. I'll play. Get it off. Okay, that's what we'll do then. No? Great. Come on, people. Just wanted to have a little fun today. Nobody wants to have fun with me. You're all a bunch of fuddy-duddies. How's that for a phrase?
Can that be the word of the day?
Thank you.
Original run.
Yeah.
September 72 to February 83.
Yep. Swear to God. What was all the hype about the MASH season finale?
That was the highest rated program ever until
And that was in 83?
Yeah.
Wow, it seemed like it was much later than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he lasted in it for 10 seasons, right?
That's one of the shows, too. Like, I was born in 85, but I still enjoyed... You know, I watched
reruns.
All those shows.
Yeah.
When
that
I
was obviously a different generation for you, right?
Yeah, so it was one of those things that kind of, it was like Seinfeld.
It still lives in syndication. I know I see it on the Hallmark Channel all the time. And it's syndicated on, you know, other stations around the country and other channels.
Yeah, I compare it to, like, Seinfeld is, you know, appealing to so many generations. It's the same type of deal.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Seinfeld sort of, you know, here's another one. How about All in the Family? You still see that from time to time. And
absolutely.
Obviously, Carol O'Connor and Gene Stapleton, you know, are not with us any longer. But here is...
Can still hear Edith shrieking.
Absolutely. Oh, Archie! Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's absolutely great. And people I know still watch it in syndication all the time.
If this radio network here was on the family, I would definitely be Meathead.
You do look a little like Rob Reiner. You do favor him.
I think Paul and Andy would tell you that I'd be Meathead, though.
You call him Meathead? Paul and Andy would call you Meathead. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got one final shot here, all right? Webradio@patriots.com. I need you on the ace ticket hotline at 508-298-0398, or I'm afraid we'll just have to shelve Game Show Thursday forever.
We could just give, if Gene's the only one willing to play, we could just give him a little trivia, too.
Yeah, we can give him
do
some
that.
Trivia.
If nobody steps
Let him
up
win a
during
prize.
The break.
Yeah. Okay, we can do that. And then we'll bring Russell in. I'm very disappointed by this. Very disappointed by this, and nobody else wants to have any fun. Like I said, I cook, I clean, I slave over a hot stove.
The lines were,
off the hook.
Off the hook.
Maybe it's just meant for one time a year.
Maybe.
You know, we do it during the bye week, during the regular season, right? I thought we did this like 2 years ago before Kevin got here. I thought we did it also during the playoff bye week as well. Trying to remember. I thought we did, and we had some success with it a couple of years ago. So, I don't know. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's because it's not Wednesday. You know? Who knows? All right. So, anyway, there we go. A couple of other things that will kind of set the table for next week, depending upon who actually wins this weekend. Obviously, the way everything meets out here, and we'll talk with Russell about this coming up in just a little bit, but the way things go. Oh, now the phones start ringing. Look at this. They're off the hook now. Look at this, okay? People are, you know, joining on late, and they're like, oh, I still got a chance to win my stinking T-shirt. Okay, that's fine. All right. Get Pete the meat in here.
Do you want to, yeah? Do you want to take a break and
yeah,
play
let's
after
do
the break so
let's
we can
do that.
Let Ego?
Make sure Russell knows, though. All right, so we'll put him off a few minutes. We'll play a round of match game, and then we'll bring Russell onto the program. All right, so let's do this. We'll get a break. Game Show Thursday finally gets through here in the playbook.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Our number two inside the playbook, and we're going to get rolling here with Game Show Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. Did you have him? Do you have him punched in? Russell, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Gene Rayburn. I am here.
Our special guest panelist today, the one and only pro football guru, Russell S. Baxter. Russell, you're a good sport. Thanks for playing around with us.
Oh, are you kidding? It sounds like it's going to be loads of fun. I just hope I don't say anything wrong.
You of course, remember the match game from the 1970s
Gene
and
Rayburn.
80s.
I mean, I'm...
Okay.
See, I'm old school, okay? I'll throw out a game show for you. By the way, I was a big Bill Cullen fan. I know you remember
Price is Right.
Yes.
Price is
yes.
Right.
Okay,
yep.
Now, I used to... My favorite game show of all time, and I used to play it with my mom, God rest her soul.
That's right.
With Concentration.
Oh yeah. When Bill Cullen did that. You know who else did Concentration?
Hugh Downs.
Yes,
Hugh
baby. Downs, yep. You are the man. Yep. You know it.
Hugh Downs, and he used to be on in the morning on NBC.
I remember that.
And that was the good version of it because there was 30 pieces to the puzzle, and they didn't give you hints.
No.
Yeah.
You remember
no
when
hints.
They went to the nighttime version?
Yep. Yes. Yep.
And
you
it was like
hints.
25 cubes.
And they gave you
and
hints.
And they would reveal
wild
22
cards.
Of them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, what was the sense? I didn't even care what the prize. I just wanted to figure out the puzzle. And those puzzles, that what are called, I believe, called rebus puzzles.
Right.
Where you took pictures and you had to put together words. I thought the game was so much fun. And we used to get the home version. And I think we had the 10th edition, the 20th edition, the 30th edition.
Yep.
But I go back to the Hugh Downs NBC version in the morning.
Hugh Downs,
and used to watch that with my mom all the time.
As in 2020?
Yes. Hugh Downs? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Game show host.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That Hugh Downs.
Wow.
Yes.
And Bill Cullen used to do the Price is Right, the one at nighttime.
Correct.
When Barker was doing it during the day.
Bill Cullen also
Bill Cullen
was Alan
was
Ludden's successor at Password.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the funniest guys. And if I also remember right, was also one of the premier panelists on What's My Line.
Yeah,
as a panelist, not as
yes,
a host.
Yes.
And people, I saw an HBO special a couple of months ago with, Dick Cavett and
right.
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
And they did this funny story about it wasn't funny. They didn't realize that Bill Cullen also, I think he had MS or something, and had very difficulty walking.
Correct.
And Mel Brooks thought he was making a joke as he was walking over to him, so we started imitating him. And Bill Cullen just collapsed his arm, crying. Like, I'm so glad somebody, gets it. That, but a lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
Bill Cullen was one of those guys, and again, I'm showing my age here, but there's something about watching people, especially on TV, who have so much joy in what they do and laugh when they say things. Not that they're cracking themselves, but you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
And Red Skelton was like that.
Absolutely.
Watching Red Skelton on TV was just so much fun because he literally just had so much fun what he was doing. And Bill Cullen was kind of the same guy. Highly intelligent. You could tell from the things he said on these talk on the game shows and so on. He was a really smart guy, but he was also didn't take himself that seriously. And I thought he made just all the shows he was on so much fun to watch.
Absolutely. All right, good stuff. Let's see if we can get rolling here. Do we want to cue the band now, Kev? Do we need to cue the band? Let's cue the band.
You got a band too?
Yes, we have a band. Studio band. Welcome to Game Show Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. I am your genial host, John Gene Rayburn Rook. Hi, panel.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Okay, thank you very much. See, that's not bad.
Jacob Hammerschmidt.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Fairly weak. But that's okay. You get the idea.
Ben White's here, too. This is great.
You get the idea. The lights are blinking and everything, just like in the 1970s. Yeah. Just like our 70s disco. Here's how we play the game. Match game is I'm going to give you a question. We have Gene in Daytona. We have Zach in Syracuse as our contestants here this afternoon. Gentlemen, we're going to let Gene go first because he's been holding on a little bit longer. So, Zach, just stay tuned and listen online and see if there's some hints that you can pick up on the show. I ask a question. I ask you to fill in the blank. You do not give your answer until I ask you to give your answer. I'll ask the question. our panelists who we have today, Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. We have Eric Scalavino from PFW, Patriots Football Weekly. We have Pete Shepard from The Pete Shepard Show on PatriotsRadio.com.
Our original.
And, yes. And we have Kevin Collins, who's graciously volunteered his time from Patriots.com radio as well. So we have four all-star studded, okay, all-star panelists here
okay,
today.
Okay, panelists.
Panelists, all right, that will play. They're going to give their answers. They will reveal their answers after you reveal yours. 1-1, we'll see how many you match. And, of course, the competitor that has the most matches at the end of the round wins the prize. So that's
but
how
Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
Yes, and he can offer insight and and all kinds of things. Gene, thanks for hanging on, pal. You ready to play?
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much. Here we go. Now, our first question. I want you to consider the answer. Don't blurt it out because we want our panelists to take
a few,
they have to
yeah.
come up with their own answers first, okay?
All right.
You follow me? All right, so don't give it until I ask you to give it. The panelists have to decide. So if Kevin and Pete and Eric and Russell are ready, here is our first question. We're going to cue the band again? Okay, here we go. Pete is so dense, even blank can't escape his gravitational pull. Pete,
about me?
Yes. Pete is so dense.
Oh, my goodness. Sir.
Even blank can't escape his gravitational pull. All right, think about it. Gene, you be thinking about it. Let our panelists, and our panelists, when they're ready, need you to ding in.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right,
I'm in.
Eric's ready.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, Russell's ready. Kevin's ready. And the subject matter of the question is still struggling with this one. Go figure.
I'm
I did say Pete is so dense, didn't I?
I'm confident in my answer then.
Okay. All right. He's ready. All right. Here we go. The question one more time, Gene. Pete is so dense, even blank can't escape his gravitational pull. All right. What do you think, Gene?
Thoughts.
Can't escape his gravitational pull. That's actually fairly clever. All right, let's reveal him. Mr. Scalavino.
I went with stupidity.
Stupidity can't escape his gravitational pull. Mr. Baxter.
I went with the Empire State Building.
Wow, that's wrong.
The Empire State Building can't escape his gravitational pull. Mr. Collins. He has the Big O. That's an inside joke for those that are outside the market, but okay, that works. All right, Mr.
What's
Pete,
the question again?
Question for Pete is, it's so dense, even blank can't escape his gravitational pull.
You're making my point.
I best put Patriots logic.
Patriots logic can't escape his gravitational pull. All right, excellent answers, Gene. Unfortunately, there were no matches there, so you will be scoreless for round one, but hang in there. We're going to put you on hold, and you're going to have a chance to come back in round two. Next up is Zach in Syracuse. Hey, Zach, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Great. You ready to play?
Sure.
Did you get any great insight from that first round?
Sure, yeah. I mean, not really what I was expecting, but let's give it a shot.
Okay, all right. Well, see, we like to throw surprises out there. All right, here we go. Number two.
I wish I had the first one back. I just thought of a great one. But
I was going to say my answer would have been Jupiter can't escape his gravitational pull, but that's just me. Okay. All right, here's our question. Have you heard Eric's latest song? It's called I Blank for SpongeBob. Have you heard Eric's latest song? It's called I Blank for SpongeBob. If you listen to the show, you know Mr. Scalavino is our resident Squidward. Okay.
All right. Ding, so ding, ding.
There's a ding,
ding, ding.
There's a ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
We got Russell with a ding, and I'm waiting for Ding Dong Kevin to come through on this one. He's ready to go. All right, here's the question again, Zach. Have you heard Eric's latest song? It's called I Blank for SpongeBob. Fill in the blank.
Painted? I don't know.
I what?
Painted. We all know Eric's an amateur artist.
Okay. All right, so he knows Eric's an amateur artist. He says, I painted for SpongeBob.
I didn't know that.
I painted for SpongeBob. All right, let's start with Mr. Scalavino. I'm going to let you have your own first here.
Okay, I went with auditioned.
I auditioned for SpongeBob.
Right.
Thank you.
Formal artistic training.
I'm a character on the show. Of course I did.
And auditioned for SpongeBob. I like it. Pete, what do you say?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? T-Bowed for SpongeBob.
I T-Bowed for SpongeBob.
Mine was really close. Mr. I wrote poetry for SpongeBob.
Wrote poetry for SpongeBob. We're getting warmer. All right, Mr. Baxter.
I swoon
for SpongeBob. I like that one too. All right, we're close. We're very close. We had a little bit closer there, but we didn't get any exact matches. We may have to like fudge this in the next round. All right, so Zach, I'm gonna put you back on hold. An excellent effort there, but we're 0-0 through one round.
Maybe I'm just this glad is why the phone works. That's all.
Yeah, I know. The phone is working beautifully, by the way. As long as I don't screw it up, we're in great shape today. Maybe this is why we should only play match game once a year. Okay. All right. Round two. We're going to bring Gene from Daytona back into the match. Gene, all we need to do is get one match here, brother, and you got a shot to win. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here's the question. Paul Perillo wowed another bunch of PFW fans. He was the only one who knew that Fred Kirsch blanked Andy Hart 83 times. Paul Perillo wowed another bunch of PFW fans. He was the only one who knew that Fred Kirsch blanked Andy Hart 83 times.
Ding, ding.
There's a ding. There's another ding from Mr. Collins.
All right, ding, 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 ding.
Mr. Baxter dings, and Mr. Scalavino dings. All right, Gene, here you go. One more time of the question. Paul Perillo wowed another bunch of PFW fans. He was the only one who knew that Fred Kirsch blanked Andy Hart 83 times. Remember, this is a family show.
Okay, Gene.
You want my answer?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Shut his mouth.
Shut his mouth. Shut Andy's mouth 83 times. Okay, fair enough. I don't think that would be enough for Andy, but nevertheless, he'd find a way through.
Yeah.
Mr. Scalavino, what's your answer?
I went with mooned.
Mooned Andy Hart 83 times. That's good. Guys, see, you know, what we really need is we need the video cam in here to stream live on Patriots.com because then you'd understand that that's not a lie. Okay. Pete. Right.
I said, I was close. I said noogied.
Noogied. Noogied, Andy. All right. We're getting close again. Mr. Baxter.
I'll go with it. Retweeted.
Retweeted, Andy Hart. See, no, actually, Russell gets it because that would have been my answer. Just because of the whole Twitter thing, I was retweeted Andy Hart 83 times. That would have been perfect.
I went for the more realistic one.
You did. Moon is actually
I went for the safer one because I like being on this show.
Yes, thank you very much.
I went realistic as well and chose punched.
Punched Andy Hart 83 times. Perfect. All right, I guess you have to, you know, be a regular on the PFW in progress to get that as well. Gene, hang in there. You're not eliminated yet because Zach needs all of one correct answer to win the match. Yikes, huh? Mm-hmm. Zach, it's here for the taking, brother. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Bill. Your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I know. He's going to. He's from Syracuse. It's tough. All right, here we go. Bill likes to pour gravy on Vince's blank.
Oh, man.
Bill likes to pour gravy on Vince's blank. See, I got a chuckle from Zach on that one. All right. Think about it, panel. Boy. Think about it. Bill likes to pour gravy on Vince's blank. Kevin's dinged in.
Ding, ding.
All right. Mr. Baxter's dinged in.
Ding, ding.
There's Mr. Shepherd. And
okay, ding, ding.
Mr. Scalavino. All right, Zach, here you go. Once again, Bill likes to pour gravy on Vince's what?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say turnovers, I guess.
On Vince's?
Like fumble recoveries or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
On That's a weird one.
That's a weird one. Okay.
It's really not, though.
It's really not. No, you have to think about it. All right, let's see if we can get somebody to say fumbles or turnovers in this particular particular game. I do have tiebreakers, by the way. I know that thrills you to death. Mm. All right, Eric, what do you say?
I went with Vince's contract.
Vince's contract. Gravy on Vince's contract. See, that makes sense.
See, that was a good intellectual answer.
Yeah, well, we leave it to the show intellect and Squidward over here.
My answer looks like a hobo compared to that.
And what is your answer? Well, now that you're, you know, throwing it out there.
I wrote belly.
Belly on Vince's gravy.
Oh, man.
Okay, Vince's belly.
Vince belly.
That works as too, Vince's belly. All right, Pete.
Well, Vince, I've seen Vince eat. He likes to eat. I just said roast beef.
On Vince's roast beef. And why shouldn't he?
Why shouldn't he?
Absolutely.
Protein?
Mr. Baxter, what do you say?
I went with the basic shirt.
on gravy on Vince's shirt. You could have said jersey. I like contract. That's a good answer, too. I would have said Vince's jersey. You know, just, you know.
Contract was the best one.
Contract is a good one. All right, well, seeing as we're really just ripping it up here, and we've got a scoreless tie.
But it's fun, though. That's the point.
Okay, we got a tiebreaker. Right. One tiebreaker. We're going to make it down and dirty and easy. So, Gene in Daytona, you're still alive. You ready to roll? Gene, you still with us?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Sorry.
All right, fellas, here you go. Tom, we're going to cue the band. I know. Somebody's asleep at the wheel. There we go, okay. Tom does not like to be disturbed while he is blanking. Tom does not like to be disturbed while he is blanking. Now, again, consider who Tom might be in this particular instance. But Tom does not like to be disturbed while he is blanking.
Right. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding. Mr. Collins, are
ding,
you
ding,
in?
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, Mr. Baxter's in. All right, here you go, Gene. It's your chance to be a star. Tom does not like to be disturbed while he is blanking.
Sleeping.
Sleeping. Okay, sleeping.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Gene.
Okay, huh? Gene, it was... You're close.
Come on, Mean Gene.
Not quite close, but just...
You got to think dirtier here, my friend.
All right, Eric, go.
I went with Giselle-ing.
Giselle-ing.
Whoa!
Great minds think alike! We have a match! Oh, my God! It's just that you didn't match the guy who's supposed to match! Russell, what do you got?
I kept it basic with studying the playbook.
Studying. All right, while studying. Kevin?
I went with brushing his hair.
Brushing. All right, brushing. I would have said, Tom does not like to be disturbed while he is passing. Does that make sense to anybody?
Oh, you're...
Passing.
You're a fuddy-duddy.
I'm a fuddy-duddy. I used that phrase already, didn't I, today? That's the second time in the same
That's
game.
That's the word of the day today.
Fuddy-duddy? All right, we may have to
Giselle-ing.
Get to that a little bit later. Giselle-ing.
Is it.
That is good.
The winner.
All right, Zach, it's wide open for you, brother.
I'm still alive.
Yes, you're still alive. Well,
barely.
Right, let's do it.
Barely. You're hanging on.
And you're still alive in the game.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Coach Bill is going to star in a new NFL Network feature. It's going to be called They Call Me Blank.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Coach Bill is going to star in a new NFL Network feature. It's going to be called They Call Me Blank. Think about it.
All right, ding. I got this one.
There's a ding.
I can't say what I want to say, so I'll have to go
Ooh.
With Oh, gee.
All right. Eric's working on his.
I'll ding in.
All right. Eric's dinged in.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Russell's dinged in. And there's Kevin. All right. Zach, for all the marbles, you just need one match, brother. Coach Bill's going to star in a new NFL Network feature. It's going to be called They Call Me...
The Hoodie.
The Hoodie. That's okay.
That's a good one.
That's a good answer.
That's a good one.
That's a good answer. All right. We'll give you a sound of one hand clapping for that one. There you go. Right there. Okay, that's one hand clapping. All right, Eric, what do you got?
I went with They Call Me...
Genius. Okay. They Call Me Genius. Very. Oh, my goodness, we got another match. There's Kevin Collins with Genius. Goodness. Pete.
I went with Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off with Call Me Sir, goddammit.
They Call Me Sir. Bleep it. All right. And Russell.
I'm going to take my cue from the great motion picture In the Heat of the Night.
Mm, wow.
They Call Me Mr. Glib.
Mr. Ooh. Glib.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, now that's Mr. Tibb.
That's extremely clever.
That's the best one.
Yep.
But that's way over our heads.
I know, I can see the movie clip right now.
Poor Russell didn't know what he got himself in for.
Yeah, he just doesn't know. We still don't have a match. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to really. This is just all right. Gene, guess what?
Why don't you try a math question?
I'm gonna try a math question. This is gonna be so easy. It's gonna be painful. Are you ready, Gene?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Cue the band. Conductor's at the sleep of the wheel. All right, ego, fill in the blank. Blank, New York. Blank, New York.
You can't say that.
You can't say that? Depends on what you're thinking. Depends on what you're thinking.
now I can't say it. So.
Well, then you better come up with something else.
All right, well,
hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't give it yet.
Ding, ding.
Yeah.
All right, we got a ding. There's Pete's in.
Ding, ding, ding.
Kevin's
ding,
in.
Ding,
Russell's ding, in. Ding. All right, and Eric's in. All right, here you go. Gene, blank New York.
Screw New York.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. I think most Patriots fans would probably go that route. Eric, what do you say?
Well, I was starting to write screw.
All right.
When I crossed it out and went for the greatest advertising campaign of all time, I Heart New York.
Okay. Okay.
Gee. Oh my God.
I think you just made Gene physically ill. Pete.
Gene, like you, there's nothing better than a screw.
Yeah! No, that's right.
No, wrong buzzer.
Oh my goodness, Russell, what was your answer?
My answer was it's up to you.
It's up to you, oh. New York. All right, Kevin, what'd you have?
Screw!
Oh! That right there is a sounder in itself, all of us yelling screw at the same time.
Yeah.
All right, Gene, hang on because Zach does get a chance to tie you, but it's going to be tough
so
because
he has to have two.
He's got
to
get two. You got to get two here, Zach. You ready?
All right, let's try again.
All right, here we go, here we go. All right. Let's see if I can find one nice and easy for you just along those lines. That was an easy one, so I got to give you an easy one too. All right, here we go. Wes said to Gronk, "You know, try leaving a little blank for the rest of us, will you?"
Ding, ding.
There you go.
Wes said to Gronk, "You know, try leaving a little blank for the rest of us, will you?"
Ding, ding, ding.
All right, Russell's in. Eric's in. Pete's in.
No, I'm not in yet. Hang
oh,
on.
All
this
right. Kevin's
tough.
In.
Wow.
He's laughing over here.
This
oh,
is a shoe-in
crap,
if ever
tough.
I've heard one.
Well, I thought so. Oh, goodness. Actually, I laughed out loud when I wrote it this morning. Tells you how bad it was. Pete's still chuckling. Is he still writing?
Yeah, I am. Right. I'm telling you.
All right.
You guys got
all right, here he is. All right, here we go. All right, Zach, you ready? Question again. Wes said to Gronk, "You know, try leaving a little blank for the rest of us, will you?"
I got to go with touchdowns.
Try leaving touchdowns for the rest of us, will you?
Okay. That's not even grammatically correct, was it? In the
yeah, I know, but I was.
He was scared. He was a scared.
No wrong answers on this show.
He was a scared. That's right. No wrong answers. All right, you need three touchdowns, which sounds like a Gronk type day. You need three touchdowns to win. What do you say, E?
I said, leave a little BB for the rest of us.
He shoots and scores! But not with Zach. Okay. Or with BB either.
No.
All right. What do you say, Pete?
This is kind of late. I just said yardage. I came close to score. I said yardage.
A little yardage. Okay. Russell, what do you have?
I have yards after the catch.
Yak! Try leaving a little yak for the rest of us, will you? That's an excellent answer. And
I was close with Eric and said Bieber.
Beaver.
Beaver Stadium.
Beaver.
Beaver Stadium.
Oh, goodness. Hey, Zach, thanks for playing, man. You're a good sport.
Hey, thanks a lot, John. Have a good one.
You got it. You too. All right, Gene, I'm going to leave you on hold because you are the champ. By the way, I got to bring the champ back on here for just a second. Congratulations. I think you won a marathon of epic proportions today.
It was. Thank you, John.
All right. You're very welcome. Exactly. All right. Stay with us, Gene. I just put you on hold so Kevin can talk to you and you'll get your prize. Big E, you're...
I feel really bad for the guy because he's going to win the home version of this game. Oh, my
Unbelievable, isn't it? Oh, just unbelievable. E,
right.
Thanks for playing, buddy.
Heading to the locker room for some interviews.
I know. You got interviews to do.
But,
thanks, man.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy the bye week.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Right?
Or Tuesday, depending on what the work schedule is. We don't know yet.
Oh, that's right. You don't
it's
know.
A Saturday game.
Saturday game.
So
you may be in here on Tuesday.
Could be here on Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. That's very true.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
have a
fellas.
Good weekend. Thanks, man. All right. Pete, we'll talk to you in a few then.
Thanks,
right?
Boys.
Thanks for playing. I appreciate that. All right. Mr. Baxter, it's you and I, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for enjoying and endeavoring and putting up with our frivolity for a short period
of
time.
That was fun. I was just glad you got the heat of the night reference and stuff because. Trying to come up with a word to rhyme with Tibbs is not, but it is one of the great movie lines. You will
No question. They call me that, right? Mr. Tibbs. Yes, exactly. Totally. Absolutely great line. But I'm probably the only one else in here old enough to recognize that, you know,
Well, I knew you could bail me out, though. The way the game was going, we had to break up the monotony somehow.
We had to do something, right? All right. Well, it's fun. We like to do that. We do this in our bye weeks, and we did it during the regular season. And we figured, well, hey, we got a playoff bye week. It's a bonus time. Why not have a little fun with it, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's very interesting that you get to do this 2 years in a row for the Patriots. Being the number one team in the AFC.
Very true.
Because it's been a long time since a AFC team has been the number one seed back-to-back years.
That's right. That's
right. You have to go all the way back to the 1990 and 91 Buffalo Bills.
Good grief. So we're going back
to the last day. Now, the Eagles were a number one seed 3 years in a row.
Okay.
Okay, from 2002 to 2004, and unfortunately it only resulted in the one Super Bowl appearance. But it's been a long time between the AFC. It's always somebody different. So winds up with the number one seed. Now, number one seed doesn't guarantee Super Bowl appearance, as
right.
we have seen.
Right.
But it's just interesting. It's been 20 years, basically,
right.
since back-to-back number one seeds by an AFC team.
Now, I know you probably are aware of at least, if not the exact number, that a pretty good ballpark figure here. How often do number one seeds arrive in the Super Bowl?
I have it somewhere. I don't have it off the top of my head. But, you know, here's the number I do know.
Right, I didn't mean to throw you a curveball.
No, that's okay. No, that's okay. Because if I could probably sit here on the air and actually do it out loud as you and I talk.
Right.
I do know that we have not had the team with the best record in football win the Super Bowl since the 03 Patriots.
Okay.
So that's seven straight years.
Okay.
With the best winning percentage, the best winning percentage has not resulted in a Super Bowl win.
Right.
We also know that three wild card teams have won the Super Bowl the last 6 years.
Right.
And by the way, all three of those teams who managed that feat are in the playoffs this year.
Correct. And I was
Steelers, the Giants, and the Packers. This is one of, and I know it's easy to say, but it's true. This is one of the craziest playoff fields I've ever seen in terms of experience, both quarterback-wise and coaching-wise,
mm-hmm.
Franchise-wise. There's such a disparity, John. We have five quarterbacks of the 12 who have won Super Bowl titles. And we have six quarterbacks who have never won a playoff game.
Right.
Five who have never started a playoff game, four of which we're going to see this weekend. And, of course, Matt Ryan
hasn't won.
He's 0-2 in his playoff.
Right.
Okay? And then you have Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is kind of the guy in the middle there who's going to get to do something he's never done in his entire career, play a playoff game at home.
Hmm. Okay.
So and then you look at the team, the coaches, Jim Schwartz, Jim Harbaugh, Gary Kubiak, coaching their first playoff games. Marvin Lewis and Mike Smith looking for their first playoff wins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then you have Belichick, Tomlin, Peyton, Coughlin, Super Bowl wins.
Right.
Okay? I mean, the disparity is crazy. It almost embodies the year because we've had all those high-scoring teams, and then we had all the teams that have played defense this year as well. You know, the top four teams in the league in scoring are in the playoffs this year.
Correct.
And the top four teams in scoring defense are in the playoffs.
Yep.
But none of them are the same.
All different.
It's either hit or miss. You're either a high-scoring team or you play defense.
Right.
And that's what, you know, it's like the great clash of superpowers. You know, is it going to be the defensive team? Is it going to be the offensive team that pulls off the championship this year?
Right. Absolutely. I heard one on the radio here locally earlier today that I thought would probably interest you as well. But there are, let's see, of these teams, of the New York Jets, the New England Patriots, the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, and and the San Diego Chargers. Of those five teams, before the season started, if you were told only one was going to make the playoffs, who would you have picked? I thought that was a pretty cool question.
Yeah, yeah. And look how it's turned out. I mean,
only one has made the playoffs.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it is, listen, we, you know as well as I, we see every year, what is it, five teams? we have C5 changes in the playoff format.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I believe, and unless I'm missing one, I believe the Patriots were the only team this year to defend their division title. Out of eight.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
That's Baltimore correct. Unseeded Pittsburgh.
Right.
Houston unseeded Indianapolis.
Correct. Denver.
Denver, Kansas City.
Right.
The Giants, Philadelphia.
Right.
Green Bay, Chicago.
Right, Chicago won the division.
New Orleans.
Right.
Atlanta.
Right.
San Francisco, Seattle.
Seattle, that's right. So the Patriots, the only one.
Different division champions.
And one repeat.
And the consistency of the Patriots.
Right, one repeat. Absolutely true. Shocking, and yet nobody seems to, especially the analysts on NFL Network, nobody seems to give the Patriots any shot at all. And
well, I'll tell you what, it's funny, is, and because I think, you know what it is? I don't know if it's so much not giving the Patriots any shot or any credit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to go by the numbers, I believe Green Bay actually gave up more total yards than they did this year.
They did, and
okay.
and one more point per game.
Right, and I think it's, I think more because New England has gotten tripped up at home the last 2 years after being undefeated at home is one of the reasons people point to that. But I think people are trying to figure out what kind of football are we going to see in the playoffs? Because you as well know, I mean, it's not like we don't have high-scoring games in the playoffs every once in a while. I remember a couple of years ago we had the epic 51-45 overtime game between Green Bay and Arizona. But more times than not, defense kind of rules in the playoffs, okay? And we have seen some of the great offenses in league history get dethroned in the playoffs. I mean, go back and look. Obviously, the Patriots in 07, the highest scoring team in terms of points in a season,
right.
Didn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Vikings in 98 up until this year. Now, you know, Green Bay and New Orleans came in here and upset the apple cart in terms of points scored in season. We alluded to it last week. This is the first time in NFL history that three teams have scored 500 points in the same season with Green Bay, New Orleans, and New England.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened before. Green Bay winds up scoring 560. That's now the second most of all time. But the 556 was the Vikings of 98. Mm-hmm. What happened to them? They didn't even make the Super Bowl.
Right.
Joe Theismann's Redskins of 83 scored 541. Now that was third all time. Now that's fifth all time because New Orleans scored 547.
Mm-hmm.
So they got blown out in the Super Bowl by the L.A. Raiders. So, as we know, Green Bay and New Orleans aren't winning the Super Bowl this year, and maybe neither one wins the Super Bowl. But I thought, you know, it was funny, that quick sidelight off of last week.
Sure.
Didn't you find it funny that the three highest scoring teams, as it turned out, all seemed like they were trying to outdo each other from 1 o'clock to 4:30?
Kind of seemed like that, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I know, obviously, no. I mean, and everybody's situation was different. You know, New Orleans just never stopped against Carolina, rolled up over 600 yards, now has totaled the most total yards in the season in NFL history, and Breeze, you know, blew by his own record in terms of passing yards. Green Bay puts 45 on the board with their backup quarterback who throws six touchdown passes. And, of course, New England, and one, by the way, one of my favorite stats of the entire year involves the Patriots and the Bills.
Okay.
And tell me what to make of this. We go back to week three, and New England scores the first 21 points of the game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Squanders that lead, unfortunately. Then, in this last week, Buffalo scores the first 21 points of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But New England scores the first 21 points against Buffalo and then the last 49. So, if they could got the middle figured out in their series with the Bills this year, in which they got outscored 55-10, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the tail of three seasons when the Bills and the Patriots played this week. But I just thought it was just a little sidelight. I just thought it was almost like, can you top this?
Yeah.
With New England scoring 49, New Orleans scoring 45, and Green Bay scoring 45, and all of them getting to 500 points.
Right.
And obviously the other two were already there, but it was just, it's been an, and by the way, we also have a quarterback in Detroit, Matthew Stafford, threw for 520 yards last week.
Right.
And he joined the 5,000-yard club.
He joined the 5,000-yard club as well, 5,038, I believe, to be exact. We have four Wild card games, two AFC, two NFC on Saturday. The game that certainly Patriots fans will be paying a lot of attention to, with the Cincinnati Bengals playing at the Houston Texans. The Texans winning the division, the Bengals getting in as the number six seed overall. If the Bengals win, they will be the team that will come to Foxborough in the divisional round the following Saturday on January the 14th. The question is, can a rookie quarterback like Andy Dalton lead his team to win over a walking, wounded Texan team that could be playing its fourth different quarterback at some stage on Saturday?
Well, in any case, we know a rookie quarterback is going to win a game on Saturday.
Right.
Okay, because T.J. Yates is expected to start at the very least.
Right.
And, you know, what an interesting situation. The Cincinnati Bengals last won a playoff game in 1990. Yes, 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Houston. That would be the Oilers. Obviously not the Texans.
Right.
And the Texans, of course, are in the playoffs for the very first time in their 10-year history. But they also lost their last three games. In fact, both these teams are coming off losses, and both these teams kind of had it rough down the stretch. I mean, Houston, you know, starting with that unexpected loss at home to Carolina. Then they let one get away against Indy. And then last week, you know, I think – would have liked to have won the game, but they obviously, going for 2 points at the end of the game, showed that they weren't all that upset about losing the game. But still, there's only been, ever been one team, John, to lose their final three games of the season and win the Super Bowl, and that was the Saints 2 years ago. Arian Foster, Ben Tate, dynamic together. Cincinnati's run defense has been a little suspect the second half of the season after getting off to a good start. But I think the Bengals, who are a little more playoff savvy here, and I know they haven't won a game, like you said, 1990, but they're in the playoffs for the second time in 3 years, and I think people forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of talk about rookie quarterbacks and rookie this and so on. There's two rookies I'm keeping an eye on this game. One of them is A.J. Green, who's a 1,000-yard receiver and a Pro Bowler for Cincinnati, and I'm watching J.J. Watt, fine defensive lineman for a very improved Houston defense. And I think when it's all said and done, I think Andy Dalton and the Bengals may be a little more balanced. And I know Andre Johnson's back, but I don't know how healthy he is.
Right.
I think Cincinnati goes in there and gets that first playoff win since 1990.
And I think that I agree with you. I know Eric Scalavino also said the same this week. We both kind of feel like the Bengals look to me at least to be a little bit better here, just because of the injury situation of the Texans, which is certainly a, you know, it's not really to take anything away from the Texans' season. They have plenty to celebrate about with their first division title, the first playoff berth, but, well, you can't help but think what kind of a juggernaut they might have been had they been able to stay relatively healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny is you all the years, and no one's more guilty than I am, of them being the vogue pick as the Cinderella team. I think I know I did. I picked him for the Super Bowl last year. And this year, Andre Johnson missing so much time. Mario Williams missing so much time. Matt Schaub getting hurt. And then Matt Leinart getting hurt right away and down to Yates. Sometimes, yes, sometimes a little adversity does the soul a little good. And I think, you know, listen, and we also, let's be realistic. The fact that the Colts were so down this year, and that Jacksonville also had a poor year, you know, that's a factor as well. I mean, the division flip-flopped, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
The top teams last year were Jacksonville and Indianapolis, and both Tennessee and Houston were 6-10 last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it completely reversed. But in any case, Houston's there, and I'm not saying they're going to be content to just get there, but the way they went to play at the end of the year, it, to me it almost seems like the Texans just might be, John, a little out of gas.
Yeah. Obviously, obviously the obvious. Yes, they haven't won since they beat Cincinnati in a game that maybe they shouldn't have won. So I think it's kind of fitting that they have an opportunity here. Both teams actually have an opportunity to correct what they might perceive as mm-hmm. wrongs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they came down, and that day they clinched the division. They clinched their first playoff win. They got the 10 wins for the first time, and they haven't won a game since.
They've lost three straight going into the playoffs. The other game on Saturday moves to the NFC, the New Orleans Saints at home against the Detroit Lions. Detroit back in the playoffs for the first time since, 1827, I think. At least it seems seems like it's been that long. I realize
that Tippi Canoe and Tyler too, I think, were the
that was the campaign motto, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It was.
Obviously 1999 was the last time they were in, and they were in 8-18 that year when they got in. Right. So this is they actually won 10 games this year for the first time since 1995.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean again, we saw this all around the league this year. Houston getting in, San Francisco after a long drought, Denver to a degree, and then of course the Lions who got off to that great start and then kind of hit a little lull in the middle of the year, got a little turnover happy, certainly got a little penalty happy. And then last week, of course, scored 41 points against the Packers, but still haven't won a game up in Green Bay since, well, would you say 1827?
1827 is what I thought.
Yeah, close. So, but no, actually, actually it's funny. They haven't won a game in Green Bay since 1991.
Ooh.
Green Bay or Milwaukee. They haven't beat the Packers on a road in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They also haven't won a playoff game since 1991, since they beat the Dallas Cowboys in the divisional playoffs and then lost to the Redskins in the NFC Championship game. And that's when their playoff losing streak continued. In fact, if they lose this week to the Saints, they will tie the NFL record for consecutive playoff losses with 7, which is currently owned by the Kansas City Chiefs, and that the Chiefs set that record last year when they lost to Baltimore. So not the kind of dubious thing you want to do. And, of course, I've heard it all week. If Matt Flynn can throw 6 touchdown passes against the Lions, what on earth could Drew Brees do to the Lions secondary?
Well, I mean, I can understand the question being asked. I'm not sure it's really that practical.
Well, you and I are totally on board with this. That's the question I've heard all week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think it's practical either, because obviously it's different circumstances.
Right.
Okay. But what if I told you that at least I believe that the Detroit Lions are going to go into the Superdome Saturday, and I know the Saints haven't lost a game there all year.
Right.
And in fact, I believe they've scored 329 points in their own building this year in 8 games.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah. But here was the number that stood out to me the first time these teams played. And these are 2 sets of numbers for the Lions. 22 for 87 and 11 for 107. Now, that might sound like some good offensive numbers or productive, but the 22 for 87 was the Lions' running game that night at New Orleans. The 11 for 107 was their number of penalties and the number of yards they lost on those penalties.
Mm-hmm.
I think they correct that this time around. By the way, Ndamukong Suh did not play in the first game this year because he was suspended.
Right.
I believe he comes back. I believe they put some heat on Drew Brees. And I know it's been a long time, but I'm going to go for a little upset here. I think the Lions are going to upset the Saints.
Wow.
In the first round of the playoff.
Keep in mind now, I know fans will remember that the Saints lost in last season's playoffs to Seattle. That was the first team to reach the postseason with a losing record. I was going to ask you how much you think that might stick in New Orleans' craw.
Well, I think it's something that you have to keep in mind. I think the one aspect of the Saints that I've seen that can be a little troubling at times is they are not a great tackling team. I can remember games. I remember a game this year where they played the Colts, and obviously they beat them 62-7. And I want to say they gave up like well over 150 yards rushing, and a lot of that because their tackling wasn't that good. Okay? So that's just something I'm going to keep in mind here. If you remember that game when they played, the Saints were in control, but they never really put the Lions away. And Matthew Stafford threw for over 400 yards in that game. But they just kept on shooting themselves in the foot with penalties. They had a lot of big plays brought back because of penalties. It's just a hunch, and it's something I've seen with teams who are sometimes energetic and surprise teams. They get off to great starts, they kind of hit a lull in the middle of the season, and all of a sudden they gather themselves down the stretch. And that's what I saw with the Lions. The Lions were 5-0 this year for the first time since 1956. They kind of slumped in the middle, and then they had that big comeback win at Oakland this year. When they were down 13 in the final quarter and pulled out the game 28-27. I think that might turn out to be a little bit of a turning point for them. And again, the only thing I can be, John, is other than right is wrong. Okay? But I'm going to stick to my guns here. I think the Lions go in there and pull an upset.
I'm going to write that down. The only thing I can beat other than right is wrong. Okay, that's a great quote.
Well, See, if we used that one on the match game, he would have never got it.
That's exactly right. And I'm going to remember that next time. This will be the sure tiebreaker. The only thing I can be right other than right is blank. How about screwed or something like that? All right, Sunday, wild card game. The first one, the 1 o'clock Eastern time game, the Falcons at the New York Giants. Now, I don't know why, and maybe it's just because I've still got that 2007 hangover around here, but I think if the Giants, provided they get a win, they could get on a little bit of a roll. I don't completely dismiss them winning the NFC.
I don't either, okay? Listen, I'm not dismissing. I really am seriously not dismissing anybody, and I know people, ha-ha, 8-8 Denver. Well, go back and look at the last 4 or 5 years when an 8-8 team has got into the playoffs. They've actually done pretty well. Okay, check out, shameless plug, check out my latest entry on profootballguru.com.
We will.
And I'll tell you what some of the 8-8 teams, or even a 7-9 team, ha ha ha, as we saw last year,
right,
win a playoff game when they were, you know, theoretically not allowed to be in there, some people thought.
Right.
But I'm kind of going the opposite way here. I totally agree with you. I think the Giants can bring the heat, but the one thing with Atlanta is they're a little more balanced than the Giants. Now, I know they've thrown the ball more this year, and they've kind of, at times, you know, they haven't been missed, you know, all Michael Turner. I mean, Matt Ryan wound up with 29 touchdown passes, was a career high for him. He had 28 last year. But I think when they can still turn up the running game. I don't think the Giants can do that this year. I haven't seen it.
No.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think the most they've run for in a game this year is just over 120 yards. They're a little different. They're a little more Eli-driven, and Eli's had a great year for them. But, and I know it sounds like I'm taking an awful lot of road teams here, but I am. Matt Ryan has not won a playoff game. There's some little rumblings about that. I heard it after last year, after they got blown out in their own building, being the number one seed. When the Packers went in there and decisively beat them. But, again, a little hunch. I think the wild card Falcons, who actually have a better record than the Giants. So
they do.
I don't know how big of a surprise it would be. I like Atlanta to go into New York or New Jersey or wherever you want to call it, and Atlanta wins on Sunday afternoon.
I saw a number where, I don't know, I guess since the advent of the wild card weekend or whatever, that the visiting team is like 13-14 against the home team. Did you see anything similar like that?
Not the number. I know last year that I know what number you're talking about. I think it's the last 7 years.
Last 7 years, okay.
The last 7 years in the first round, home teams are 13-15.
Okay, home teams are 13-15.
That's the number. And it used to be, if you took it before that, home teams were 41-15.
Right.
Okay, last year, how funny is this? Last year, the team that was not supposed to be in the playoffs was the only home team that won, and that was 7-9 Seattle.
Right.
Okay? Baltimore won at Kansas City, Green Bay won at Philadelphia, and the Jets won at Indianapolis.
Right.
Okay, so the one team that, quote-unquote, wasn't good enough to be in the playoffs,
was the only
they're the
team
one home team, and all they did was knock off the defending Super Bowl champion.
Right, which tells you that, you know, you're kind of on track with your predicting the road teams here, because looks like the home teams are certainly vulnerable in the wild card. The last one, of course, has a lot to do with the Patriots as well, because if the Texans can hold on to the home field advantage and beat Cincinnati, then the Patriots would face the winner of Steelers at Broncos.
Well, and this would be... wait a minute. I'm sorry. Can you say that again? If Houston wins?
If Houston wins, then the Patriots will face the Pittsburgh Denver.
Oh, you're right. Of
winner.
Course. Yeah. Because they would be the lower seed. The
correct.
Four and the five. Of course. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. I wasn't sure I caught all that. I just wanted to be sure. And you know, what's funny is, you know, again, you've heard this all week. How is Tim Tebow going to throw the ball against the Steelers, who were the number one defense in the league? Number one against the pass. Wound up. And remember a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away when the Ravens beat the Steelers 35-7 on opening day?
Mm-hmm.
Guess who wound up giving up the fewest points in the league this year?
Pittsburgh.
That Pittsburgh Steelers. Who in this day, think about last week, the Patriots scored 49 points when they beat the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers have given up 48 points in their last six games.
Pretty good.
Yeah, actually fewer points than they gave up last year when they led the league in points allowed. And I'm bringing that up because there's another streak. It's been, I think, 20 years since the Saints in 91 and 92 when a team in the NFL gave up the fewest points in the league two straight years. Actually, Pittsburgh's done three of the last 4 years. Got to give a little credit to Dick LeBeau because this was a team defensively that had their share of injuries this year. As you well know, we didn't see a lot of Lamar Woodley and James Harrison on the field at the same time. Either one guy was hurt or one guy was suspended or both guys were hurt. So they've done it a little different way. And I'm bringing that up because the one thing about the Steelers you could always put in stone is they're really, really good against the run. Up until this year, they had finished top three in run defense 7 consecutive years. This year, John, the Steelers finished 8th. Now, I'm certainly not burying them, and 8th is still pretty good. They still gave up fewer than 100 yards rushing the game. But there were times this year where teams were able to run the ball on the Steelers. Okay, they didn't get a lot of points, but they were able to run the ball, surprisingly so. You know, in 2010, only 2 teams got 100 yards rushing against the Steelers, and that was in 19 games. This year, 7 teams did it. So why am I bringing this up? Because they're playing the number one rushing team in the league. And what does Denver do better than anyone, as we just said? And it's really is what got Denver into the playoffs. Sure. I know there's a lot of that Tim Tebow magic, and we talk about that. But the fact that they can shorten the game, the fact that they get a lot of big plays from Willis McGahee, who has had a great bounce back year, and probably is getting tired of seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, by the way.
Sure.
I guess he thought he'd escaped them when he was in Baltimore 2 of the last 3 years, and now he gets to play the Steelers in the playoffs again. I give Denver's the puncher's chance here because of their ability to run the ball, because I believe they can run the ball on anyone, and I think they can run the ball here. And as we well know, the Steelers, a little crippled with the running game, Rashard Mendenhall is out for the playoffs. And Ben Roethlisberger, as we know, is not 100% with that ankle. I think the Steelers wind up winning it with their defense. But of all the home teams, just like last year with the Saints, I think Denver has the best chance. I know that sounds crazy.
It is.
I think Denver has the best chance of pulling off a little bit of a surprise in a clash of styles more than anything else.
So Denver is the most likely home team, you think, to win?
Yes, I do. I do. Of course, you know, I've been questioned before, and
your sanity's been questioned, right?
You know, theory, but I just threw out a whole bunch of numbers during this whole segment.
Right.
Football is an eye test.
Yes.
As much as anything else.
Sure.
And the one thing you see with Denver is they are relentless with that running game. Now I know Tim Tebow has really struggled. Okay. But what if they're able to run the ball on the Steelers for about 35 carries for 160 yards, okay? And Ben Roethlisberger isn't as mobile as he has been before, okay? And they're forced to throw the ball even more than they want to, okay? Now, Pittsburgh gets up 21-0 and turns. Here's the thing about Denver, though. Even down 21-0, what choice do they have is to run the ball. And that's what they do. That'll be the Denver game plan. Okay, we're going to try to have to out-muscle the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, the Steelers not being as tough against the run as they have been in past years, I think they might be a little vulnerable to it. I just think that's one of the things to watch in this game.
It's good stuff. It's all good. Under your scenario, though, with all the road teams won, it would be Cincinnati in here on the 14th.
There you go. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's what most of us around here, not all, but most of us are picking as well. We also like Cincinnati over the Texans.
Well, again, we're going to see a rookie quarterback advance, okay? And, you know, I think Marvin Lewis has done a great – I think people forget that they're back in the playoffs for the second time in 3 years, okay? I mean, so many people focus on the fact that they've only been in the playoffs. This is their what? Their third playoff appearance since 1991. So it's three times – you get so focused on it being three times in 21 years.
Right.
That the fact is that they're here second time in 3 years. And don't think a playoff loss or playoff experience from a couple years ago, win or lose, didn't help them.
Right. Right. Russell, my friend, it's always great to have you. Thanks for being a good sport today. And shall we reconvene next week to talk about the divisional matchups?
I think that would be a blank idea.
I like it. There we go. See, I think you win. Have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. And again, you know my motto. The only thing I can be other than right
is wrong. Indeed. I like that. Thanks, Russell.
All right. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. Read it. All right, Pete Shepard's coming up. My thanks to Russell and Pete and to Eric Scalavino and Kevin for Game Show Thursday, and my thanks to you for tolerating our little bit of frivolity here inside Patriots Playbook on Thursday. We'll be back with you next Tuesday in the Playbook following Patriots Monday programming from WEEI, and we're going to break it down. We'll start looking at it. We'll look ahead and see if the Patriots can't finally get off that two-game playoff schneid over the last couple of years with one at home against either Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, or Denver. One of those three will be here next week. Which one? Enjoy the games this weekend. I shut the world outside until the lights come on. Maybe the streets are light, maybe the trees are gone. I feel my heart stop beating to my favorite song.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.